Amen. Genesis chapter 50 and verse number 20. And the Lord really gave me this thought here this week as I was watching things unfold, and you know, how the Lord does things for his church. Now, we believe that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the Lord's church. We believe that. Amen. We absolutely, and we not only believe it, but we've seen it this week. We've watched it happen this week, how God is taking care of his church, that God has blessed his church and defended his church. Amen. And we praise God for that. That's his work. It's not ours. Humanly speaking, no, well, let's pray. Father, Lord, I pray you'd be with us now. Help us, Lord. Help us understand all of this truth, Lord, and embrace it. And let this be a testimony to the world and to the saints that the Lord Jesus Christ takes care of his church. In Jesus' great name we pray. Amen. Genesis chapter 50, verse number 20. But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. Amen. You know, I think about how this correlates with our situation here. Joseph was a man tested many times over. He was kidnapped by his brethren and thrown into a pit and sold to some Ishmaelites, and he ended up in Egypt. While in Egypt, he ends up being the head of Potiphar's house, right? He moves into a leadership position, takes over all of Potiphar's house, and cared for everything. Then he's falsely accused and sent to prison because he wouldn't fornicate with Potiphar's wife. Think about that. Then he becomes the head of the prison system. Wherever God put him, he was blessed no matter how much man tried to curse him. Do you understand that? No matter how much man tries to curse, God will bless who he blesses. And you cannot curse what God has blessed. You will not be able to do that. And God shows us that in the scriptures. So then we see here that Pharaoh, king of Egypt, that God lifted him up out of prison, Joseph out of prison, and made him to stand before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And he became second to Pharaoh in all the land. By the way, he would be second in command of the whole world at that time, because Pharaoh ran the world. Egypt ran the world at that time. I mean, at that time in that area, they were in charge. I mean, no one did anything unless Joseph approved it in the whole land, in all the land of Egypt, and in whatever he was master over. Only Pharaoh was greater in the kingdom. You think about that. God did that with a man that he used and that he already blessed. But he started out a slave, and his brethren sold him into slavery. They spared not for his crying, but sold him for 20 pieces of silver. Incidentally, you know, Jesus was sold for what? 30 pieces of silver. I've heard some people say, well, that's inflation right there. But we'd be all right, wouldn't we? But they wanted to do away with their brother. They would sell him away, but they thought what they thought for evil, God meant for good. And there's a principle here that you and I need to understand. We need to understand that what the world wishes evil upon the people of God, God will use for good. God will protect his people. God will protect his church, and God will use it. God will take care of you. So the first thing I want you to notice here is God allowed Joseph to be sold into slavery. God allowed it to happen. God was not surprised when Joseph was sold into slavery. That's one thing you have to understand. God wasn't surprised by that. It wasn't like oh man, I didn't know this was going to happen to Joseph. No, God knew it was going to happen. God allowed it to happen for a reason. Joseph said what reason, right? What did Joseph say in our text verse here? Right? It says here, but it came to pass as is this day to save much people alive. And that's what happened. God never forgot about Joseph. Just because he was going through trials doesn't mean that God forgot about him. Sometimes you and I have trials in our lives, and sometimes we think in our minds that, well, God must have forgot about us. You know, what have I done wrong, and why is this going to be this way, and what happened, and everything else. You know what? God may allow you to go through trials to bless you. God may allow that to happen. God allows the trials for a purpose, and his purpose was to save much people alive. You know why we're not out of this city? You know why they wanted us out of that city? They thought maybe they'd get us out of here, that we'd walk away and leave. But you know why? No, because God wants us here. to save much people alive. That's why. Because these people need to be saved. These people need to be born again. They need the gospel preached to them, and they need that witness. And now they're going to get that witness right out here with this 10-foot sign that's going to say Old Paths Meeting House of Old Paths Baptist Church, right out there in front, lighted for them to see as they drive by all the time. I mean, who'd have thought it, huh? Who'd have thought it 8 years ago that we'd be right across from that McDonald's right there, just straight across from that? Who'd have thought that? God truly does save us to glorify Him. And for souls to be saved, it glorifies God. And Joseph was spared to save much people alive. You know, Jesus didn't save you and I so we could sit around and brag about how saved we are. He saved you so you would bring glory and honor to the Father and that you would bear much fruit. And to save much people alive. Amen. As a testimony. Amen. That's right. God knows about our trials, and God knows exactly where we are and what we're facing. He allows the trials. Sometimes the Bible says the trying of your faith worketh patience. Turn to James chapter 1, verse number 3. Sometimes He allows those trials, and He allows them for them to work patience in us. James chapter 1. You know what? And this applies to every area of your life. There are some areas in your life right now that you are desperately struggling in. And you know it, and I don't know it. I don't know every area. I don't have to know, but the Holy Ghost knows, and God will speak to your heart. You know what? There's an area in your life, and God is probably bringing it to your remembrance right now as I'm preaching this to you, that there's an area in your life that there's a problem in, that you have a problem in, that you have a trial in. And the God of the Bible says the trying of your faith worketh patience. God is allowing you. How are you doing in the trial? It's a good question, isn't it? Amen. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Amen. Joseph, wherever he was a patient man. Why? Because he had been through trials, and he had to be. I mean, you can imagine, okay, I'm in a pit. His brother sold him into slavery. He's sitting in a pit. Some Ishmaelites come along. He can't fight him. I mean, what's he going to do? He has to just go with him. He's just one guy. His brother sold him. And what does he have to do? He has to be patient through all of that. Patient, even in Potiphar's house when he's falsely accused of something he didn't do. But he's patient through it all. He's absolutely patient through it. Joseph learned to trust God through the trials that he had faced. And you and I learned to trust God through the trials that we face. You know what? Faith that is not tested is worthless faith. If it's never tested, listen, if we'd have sat over there and only paid $4.50 a month for the rest of the time that we were there in this city, it would never have tested our faith to trust God and to step out by faith. So you know what? No, we're not going to leave this city, but we are going to go somewhere in this city, and God will provide for us. Amen. I believe, as I look back on it, the light was too hidden in that city. It was too hidden for us to be there. Now, it won't be hard to find us. They're going to see us right there. Right there. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Joseph learned to trust God, though, through those trials. You know, God allowed us to get kicked out of that senior center for a reason. God knew there were wicked people that wanted us gone. God knew that there was a Jezebel that would seek to write letters in Ahab's name to remove us from our meeting house. I mean, you can't even make it any clearer than that. Is that too straightforward for some people? That's just straight Bible right there. Listen, these are Bible times. We're still living in Bible times. There are still Jezebels out there, and there are still weak-kneed, wicked men that will do what Jezebel wants them to do. Because they don't like that preaching either. Why? Well, probably because they're adulterers and fornicators themselves. That's why. They don't like that tough preaching. They don't like that straightforward preaching, that repentance preaching, that calder. They don't like that. We got to do something about that. Mm-hmm. You got to get saved. That's what you got to do about it. There's nothing else you can do about it but get saved. Because you're not going to, you know what? If you killed us all, God would raise up more. That's what'll happen. You'll never stop the preaching of God. And you, by the grace of God, you'll never see us leave this town. Unless he tells us to go. And then we'll go. But not because of Jezebel and Ahab and their conniving little plans. Mm-hmm. The attack of the leaf blowers. The attack of the killer leaf blowers. He did get your shoes dirty. That was very intimidating for you. Doesn't help your shoe game. We do have all that on video. And by the way, we still have a ton of video that Jacob has that we can get over there from there to show the good citizens of Northfield how, you know what, you need these preachers more than you realize. Have you ever watched your youth out here in the streets?
Oh, yeah.
It's time we separate some clips on that and show Northfield their youth.
Yeah. I got it all edited.
Oh, perfect. Perfect. We had to take the curse words out of the good citizens of Northfield's children. Well, Jezebel did it to Naboth, though, right? Turn to 1 Kings chapter 21. This is not new. We're living in Bible times still. Listen, if you're out there, if you're out in the open air, if you're preaching, if you're standing out publicly and preaching the word of God and standing against evil, guess what? You're going to live in Bible times too. You're going to be a part of these Bible times. You're going to be able to relate to these things. 1 Kings chapter 21, verse number 4. And Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he had said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers. And he laid him down upon his bed and turned away his face and would eat no bread. In other words, he pouted like a big stinking baby with his lip out that a bird could come and poop on it. That's what he did. That's what he did right there. Yeah, a bunch of big babies with their big lip out, pouting. But Jezebel, his wife, came to him and said unto him, why is thy spirit so sad that thou eatest no bread? And he said unto her, because I spake unto Naboth the Jezreelite, and said unto him, give me thy vineyard for money, or else if it please thee, I will give thee another vineyard for it. And he answered, I will not give thee my vineyard.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Don't sell your vineyard. That's right. That's right. You know, I preached a message a long time ago. You remember that message? It's not for sale, Ahab and Jezebel. Do you remember that one? Oh, that's a long. Did you ever hear that one? I had it online. Oh, you got to hear that one sometime. It's an old one. Maybe I'll preach it again sometime. It's been a long time, but it's not for sale, Ahab and Jezebel. Yeah, don't sell out your vineyard. Amen. Anyway, and he said unto her, because I spake unto Naboth. Okay, we got that. And Jezebel, his wife, said unto him, dost thou now govern the kingdom of Israel? Arise and eat bread and let thine heart be merry. I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. Oh, they want to kill something. Jezebel always wants to kill something. Just remember that. So she wrote letters in Ahab's name and sealed them with his seal and sent the letters unto the elders and the nobles that were in the city dwelling with Naboth. And she wrote in the letters saying, proclaim a fast. Oops, fast, and set Naboth on high among the people, and set two men as sons of Belial before him to bear witness against him, saying, thou didst blaspheme God and the king, and then carry him out and stone him that he may die. Now, they'd like to do that here to us for sure, okay? And if they could get it, I had the banker tell me that downtown, the good old nice Northfield banker downtown there, right downtown. He said, I said, I know you'd probably like to get me. He goes, yeah, I'd like to run you out of town. I said, I know you would. Yeah. Go watch the video. Amen. Thank God for the First Amendment, right? Thank God that there were some men that stood up, some Baptist men that had stripes on their back, that were beaten, that were thrown in prison. Thank God for those men. Even go back to the anonymous prisoner of Newgate back in England. Thank God for some men that would stand up for the truth, and they would stand up and preach the word of God, and they'd preach in the open air, and they were hated for it, but they did it even in chains. They did it. And the religious crowd, that's right, the religious crowd hated him. And what do we have down here? A bunch of lost religious Lutherans that don't want to hear the truth of the word of God preached to them. And I'm going to tell you something, you ain't seen nothing yet. Amen. I'm telling you what, I'm getting fired up just thinking about it right now. I just said, because I'll tell you something right now. You know what? God is going to use this church for his glory. You watch. He's going to. This thing isn't over yet. All they're going to do is have more people look into what Old Paths Baptist Church is doing for the Lord. That's what they're going to do. God is going to show that. It's going to manifest. You watch. That's right. It's already doing it. That's right. Okay, so now Jezebel was, if Jezebel was permitted to kill us now, they would. Not just vote us out of the senior center, but they'd find a way to take our heads. Oh, I believe it. I'm telling people, you really believe that? You better believe I believe it. Oh, absolutely, I believe it. I can see murder in their eyes. I see death in their eyes. You can just see it. Yeah. Just look at the video. Watch them. Yeah. But you mark it down, friend. Jezebel hates the heads of the prophets. She goes after the heads. They hate prophets, man. That Jezebel spirit, they hate prophets, man. They hate prophets to stand up and preach fearlessly. They don't like that. They want a fearful man. They want a man to be afraid of them. They think when they walk out on the street that some man, because they own a shop somewhere, that making idols for Diana there, they think that, you know what, I'm supposed to be scared of them. And, oh, no, you said something to me, so I'm going to run. No, I'm not your husband, lady. I'm not going to run away just because you talk to me. I'm not going to, just because you give me that snarly old devilish look, you think I'm going to run away from that? I've had women look at me like that my whole life. That ain't going to bother me none. Right? Yeah. I've seen that spirit. I've seen it. We understand bold preaching is hated today. The sad thing is it's hated by the people that are supposed to love it. It's a little bit too real for them. That's right, a little bit too real. There's nothing a Jezebel hates worse than an old leather-lunged prophet who calls down that fire from heaven to devour those false prophets. They don't like it. When you go into that open air there and you go preach there, you just watch them come out. Who comes out? Is it the men that come out from the shops? No. It's the Jezebel women that are running out there acting like men with their butch haircuts walking by and pointing a finger in your face and doing everything else like. And their husbands are like, okay, I'll run the leaf blower. And I'm like, it's like, because I'd be embarrassed. I'd be like, I tell my wife, you got to get inside now because I'm really embarrassed by what you're doing here. All right? This is embarrassing. All right? Why are you confronting men and talking to men and like yelling at men and arguing? I mean, where's your husband at? Where's your husband? Flipping burgers, I guess. I don't know. But
I put him on the
leaf. Yeah, exactly. Anyway, we have our own Jezebels to fight in our generation. We got Ahabs out there too. And all this is about stirring things up. Turn to Acts chapter 19. Yep, that's right. Sons of Belial, those that bear false witness. So they're going to get as many people as they can to come up and bear false witness. But you just remember one thing, okay? Or twist what is being said, or show portions of a video, but not the whole video, into the whole context of what's done. That's what they'll try to do. But remember, that's what they did to Jesus, too. The false witnesses they raised up against Jesus, they couldn't even corroborate their story. It didn't even make sense, right? No, no. There you go. That's right. Acts chapter 19, verse number 24. For a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith which made silver shrines for Diana, brought no small gain unto the craftsmen, whom he called together with the workmen of like occupation and said, sirs, you know that by this craft we have our wealth. Moreover, you see and hear that not alone at Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul hath persuaded and turned away much people, saying that they be no gods which are made with hands. So that not only this, our craft, is in danger to be set at naught, but also that the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised and her magnificence should be destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worshipeth. That's interesting, isn't it? And when they heard these sayings, they were full of wrath and cried out, saying, great is Diana of the Ephesians. And the whole city was filled with confusion. Well, that sounds about right. What are we going to do about these people? We don't know what to do. You got articles. What are we going to do about them? It's like, what are we going to do about the First Amendment? That's really what you should be saying. So how do we get around this First Amendment thing? How do we destroy freedom of speech so nobody has the right to speak in the open air? Yeah. How do we do that? And having caught Gaius and Aristarchus, men of Macedonia, Paul's companions, in travel, they rushed with one accord into the theater. What happened? Well, these are still Bible times, and there's still Jezebels who mean evil for God's servants, and there's still cowardly Ahabs that will help them accomplish their goals, and they don't want their craft being disturbed. That's what but by the way, in this case, they're definitely using it as an excuse because Paul, I don't think the Apostle Paul, even in this case, you can see this, I don't think Paul was out there like 24 hours a day causing trouble, like out there, like they're trying to imply that he was doing. He was preaching the Word of God, which causes a lot of trouble. But you know what? We cannot be there enough to hurt their business. We all have duties to do, jobs. We have to make money. We have to take care of our families. We have to do all those things. It's impossible for us. This, you're talking about a ministry that goes out once, maybe twice a week, all over the Minnesota area to preach the gospel. Now, that's not in Northfield. That's all over the Minneapolis area to preach the gospel and St. Paul area. Do you understand that? So how in the world could we do enough damage to four or five businesses downtown? I mean, just look at it. I'm going to laugh at these people. I really think they sound very foolish. Even if you did go every Saturday, they still they have 6 days a week, six other days a week that they're open, or even five. And we couldn't be there that long anyway. But the Bible says the gates of hell shall not prevail against his church. You know, they always forget about the Lord. Through it all, they always forget about the Lord. They think they're fighting us. No, we realize we're not fighting you, because for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. What we understand is, Northfield, we're not fighting you. We're fighting the spirits that are behind you. We already know that. We're fighting the devils that are behind you, that are leading you to try to stop us from preaching the Word of God. That's who we're fighting. We're not in a fight with you, and you're not fighting us. You're fighting God. You're resisting the Holy Ghost. You are resisting the Word of God. That's what you're doing. That's what's happening. But they forgot about God, didn't they? Turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse number 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Amen. You know, the world will plan lots of evil for God's children, but they will only go so far as God allows them to do. And he will turn their cursing into a blessing for his people. Now I want you to turn your Bibles to Numbers chapter 22. Numbers chapter 22 and verse number 12. You know, Balak wanted Balaam so badly to curse Israel, didn't he? Man, he wanted, man, I'm telling you what, he was working it as hard as he could. He's like, man, I'll give you everything. Just go down there and do a little incantation spell on them and curse those people and get it done with, okay? Work your magic down there and get it done with and curse these people. He begged him to curse Israel, but he ended up blessing Israel. Why? Because he couldn't curse what God had blessed already. And that's just the thing. And that's the same principle. Now, we know we're not Israel, okay, but we understand the church is the same principle in the local New Testament church. Amen? That we cannot be cursed by the world, but we can bring a curse upon ourselves. That's why when there is sin, we repent, we get it right. If there's somebody that does not obey according to the scriptures and they walk disorderly, they are out of here after due process of the scriptures. And they're voted out. Why? Because we will not walk disorderly. By the grace of God, we will obey him. Because we don't want to bring a curse upon ourselves. Because we can bring a curse upon ourselves. They can do nothing to us that God does not allow. But we can curse ourselves. We can traffic in the accursed thing. We could do things. Amen? Numbers chapter 22, verse number 12. And God said unto Balaam, thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. Amen. Then Numbers chapter 23, verse number 7. And he took up his parable and said, Balak, the king of Moab, hath brought me from Aram out of the mountains of the east, saying, come curse me, Jacob, and come defy Israel. How shall I curse whom God hath not cursed? Or how shall I defy whom the Lord hath not defied? For from the top of the rocks I see him, and from the hills I behold him. Lo, the people shall dwell alone, and shall not be reckoned among the nations. Who can count the dust of Jacob, and the numbers of the fourth part of Israel? Let him die, let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his. Whoops, that's not what he wanted, was it? And Balak said unto Balaam, what hast thou done unto me? I took thee to curse mine enemies. And behold, thou hast blessed them altogether. And he answered and said, must I not take heed to speak that which the Lord hath put in my mouth? That same illustration we see with Ham, the son of Noah, right? Ham transgressed, but you know what? Ham was blessed. So Noah couldn't curse Ham. So Canaan was cursed. The Bible says, cursed be Canaan. Why? Because Ham was already blessed. That's the way it worked. Do I understand it? Nope, not all of it. I just know what God blesses, he blesses. And if you try to curse what God's blessed, you're going to get trouble. I've seen a lot of enemies and people come against this ministry, and I haven't seen them really blessed when they do it. I haven't seen them really blessed. They try to curse this ministry, but it hasn't worked. Why? Because of us? No, because of God. Because God is with his church. Can somebody grab me some water, please? I didn't put any up here. I'm sorry. You know, when somebody, I've seen so many people come after this church before, try to attack this church in different ways. But they've never stopped the work of God. They've never stopped it. Though they've tried. Amen. You can't curse what God has already blessed. And when sinners try to curse the church of the living God, the Lord will turn that cursing into a blessing. God wants to save many people alive here in Northfield. They need the testimony. Why? You're looking at a town that is like the most liberal town in Minnesota. It has two liberal, wicked colleges that are God-hating. They hate the Word of God. Bunch of druids running around, bunch of perverts running around in the woods. Amen. A bunch of fake lost Lutherans that have never been born again by the Spirit of God. And too weak of preachers to stand up and tell them the truth because they're just as lost and compromised as they are. I don't like that. That's too straightforward. They need it. They need to hear it. They need the truth. God wants to save many people alive here. You know, it would have been easy in my flesh to walk away from Northfield. It would have been real easy. I was tempted to. I was thinking about it. I was like, well, you know, it's expensive here in Northfield. I may have to go somewhere else. But I got a few witnesses for some people. They were like, Brother Nate and Brother Lee, and they were like, you know what? I don't want them to win. I don't want to leave because somebody wants us to leave, unless God wants us to leave. And after I got over the initial shock of it all and just trying to, you know, comprehend it, I woke up and I was like, you know what? We're not going anywhere. We're going to stay right here. We're going to stay right here. Amen? Yeah, exactly. Now with a big sign, right? But God wouldn't give me leave to move Old Paths Meeting House somewhere else. He wouldn't give me any leave to do that. Why? Because what they meant for evil, God meant for good. That's why. Their thoughts were evil, but God's were good. Amen? Because this town needs the light of Old Paths Baptist Church, that presence here. They need it. Why? To check all the evil that's here. This is a wicked place. A bunch of wicked colleges teaching wicked things, producing wicked students that are sent out over all the world with wickedness. Think about it. Teaching everything contrary to the Word of God. Everything contrary to the Word of God. Mocking the Word of God. Calling themselves Christians when they don't even know what that means. So we're here to show them what it really means. Amen. By the grace of God. Amen. What they meant for evil, God meant for good. It's important to note, too, number three, that God will at times harden people's hearts. The Lord will harden people's hearts to fulfill his will for his people. Turn to Exodus chapter 7. It was funny because this brother said that to me, Brother Stephen, he said that to me the other day. One of the men that called me on the phone that talked to me the other day, he said, I kind of told him the story. He said, you know what? No, it's just God hardened their hearts because he wanted you out of there. It was God that wanted us out of there. It was God that wanted Joseph in Egypt. It was God that wanted Joseph in Egypt. What they thought for evil, God meant for good. God wanted him in Egypt. And if God wants you somewhere, he will use whatever means. He'll use a whale, but he'll get you there. He'll puke you right up onto land somewhere where he wants you. If I'd have tried to leave Northfield and been emphatic about it, you know what? God would have puked me right back over here. Because he didn't want us away from here. But God, he uses people. They don't even know they're being used by God. They have no idea that the very God they're opposing is moving their heart to do something. Just like God moves the heart of kings, right? God will move their hearts, and they don't even realize they're being used of God. Yeah, that's right. He'll put a hook in their mouth. That's right. Exodus chapter 7, verse number 13. And he hardened Pharaoh's heart, that he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said. And the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hardened. He refuses to let the people go. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh. Exodus chapter 9, verse number 12. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had spoken unto Moses. Now turn to Exodus chapter 10, verse number 1. And the Lord said unto Moses, go in unto Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servants, that I might show these my signs before him. Listen, that's exactly what happened here. What they meant for evil, God meant for good. Oh, you're out. We're pushing you out. I'm on the board, and you're going to get voted out. 3 years ago, he stood up in front of me, that man. He stood up in front of me second time we preached in Northfield, it was, when David Ickes came to visit and a few others. And when he came there, I was standing there. The video's online. You can see it. And his veins are all popping out of his neck, and he's going like crazy, and David Ickes is just like the Iceman. He just stands there like this the whole time, right? This guy's like breathing fire out of Ickes, and Ickes is like, right? I understand. He's the Iceman. Anyway, it's funny to watch, but I learned a lot from him, and I still do. But But he looked at me and he goes, I know Old Paz. I was like, oh, he goes, what church is this? And I said, Old Paz. He goes, oh, I know Old Paz. I was like, how do you know Old Paz? And he walked back to me and he goes, because I'm on the board of the senior center. And I went, whoa. That came close to home like right away. It wasn't even weeks of preaching out there before it just, boom, hit a nerve right away, right close to home. And that's why pastors don't preach in the open air. That's why they don't, because there's a cost to it. Right? That's right. That's right. That's right. And the Lord said to Moses, go in unto Pharaoh, and I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servants, that I might show these my signs before him. Verse number 2, that thou mayest tell in the ears of thy son and of thy son's son what things I have wrought in Egypt and my signs which I have done among them, that ye may know how that I am the Lord. See, what did God do? Well, God's going to show him a sign. Right? Literally. He's going to show him a sign that he is among them. And that his church is going to be right. Well, you should have left him hidden in there. Because nobody knew where they were at anyway. I've been here for like 8 years. People are like, where are you guys at? Everywhere I go, everybody asks, where are you guys at? Where's that church at? Well, now you'll know. That's right, right there. Right there. And they're going to see a sign right there. And God's going to show that he's among us right there. He's going to show them that God is among them and that this was of God's doing, and they didn't even realize it. God has them in derision. They don't even realize what they're doing. They could be so frantic and crazy because God is just pushing them along, and they have no idea that he's doing it. No idea at all. It's hard for some people to take. Exodus chapter 11, verse number 1. Watch this, because this is what happened. And the Lord said to Moses, yet will I bring one plague more upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. Afterwards, he will let you go hence. When he shall let you go, he shall surely thrust you out hence altogether. Well, first it was just like, hey, fill out this contract and we'll change this. And I sat down with the meeting and it was like, okay. And I was all kind and polite and everything else. And then I'm like, okay, here we go. And then like, a week and a half later, it was like, I get a letter in the mail. You're out. Get out. You're out by May 8th. But the Lord showed us, no, you'll be out a lot sooner than that. You'll be out about 3 days after they sent that letter out. That's when you'll be out. About 3 days later, you'll be out of there. And praise God, we went the other day and picked up all of our stuff and walked out of there. And they were like, they're like, what are you doing? You're not going to stay for the, you're going to be, you're not coming back tomorrow? No, we're not coming back ever. Amen. We're gone. Why? Because what they meant for evil, God meant for good. Amen. That's why. Amen. That's why. Right. And what did they do? They thrust us out, didn't they?
Yeah.
Why? Because God moved them. You know, it's funny because a couple months ago, I was like, you know, we're going to have to really think about finding another place to meet. And I didn't really voice that to a lot of, few of you guys heard me say that. I said, you know, we're really going to, I know Nate heard me, and I think Aaron might have heard me too. I know Dad did, and a few others. And I was like, you know, we're going to have to think about, and I was praying about it a few times. I would pray about it when I thought of it. And I was like, well, Lord, I'm thankful for what you've given me. And it wasn't a point of being thankful. It was like, I started to look around and I was like, you know, I think we kind of outgrow this place a little bit. And just not number-wise. Okay, not number-wise, but just, it's like we started to stink to the inhabitants of the land, you know what I mean? We started like they didn't look upon us as favorable as they did before. You know, they didn't really, you could sense that they didn't really want us there as much, that God was doing that. And I think that was God signaling to us and showing me that, hey, you know what? I never dreamed it'd be this fast, that it would work this way. But you know what? But God. Never forget about God. Never forget about his providence and what he does for us, how he takes care of us. That's right. What they thought for evil, God meant for good. They thought they kicked us out, but they didn't really. The Lord just hardened their hearts. God hardened their hearts, so they pushed us out. Right? They thought they were making the decision. No, you weren't. You were led by God to make that decision. You were pushed by God to make that decision. Amen. That's right. Amen. Now look at the good and think about the good that God can bring out of evil. You know, God can bring good out of evil. All right? Out of evil circumstances that people place on his people. God can make good out of that. He can. And he did with Joseph's life. With Joseph's life, you know, everything, all the evil that Joseph went through, but God brought good from that. Why? Because what they meant for evil, God meant for good. Joseph was just exactly where God wanted him to be, right there in Egypt. Why? So he could be leader of the whole world. Amen. And he could save Jacob and save that seed, that godly seed. Amen? That's what he did. You know, God uses the foolishness of preaching. He hardens hearts and he uses it. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, listen to this, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. What did he do? He destroyed the wisdom of the wise. Oh, we'll just get him out of here. We'll just push him along. Get him out of here. That'll get rid of him. So down there, the wisdom of the worldly wise down there. Well, what are we going to do about this problem of these street preachers? Go look at northfieldnews.com and go comment on there. You that listen to our ministry, go comment on there about how they want to stop free speech in Bridge Square, and how they admitted that before they tried to stop free speech in Bridge Square, and they actually admitted all. Wow, Tell me that. Yeah, they changed the story a little bit, but tell me how that's not God destroying the wisdom of the wise. They don't even know what they're doing. They don't even realize that they are going against God, and God is going to judge them for it. And God is going to deal, and they will do exactly what God wants them to do. That's what they will do, and what God allows. And they will not do any more than that because God will not allow it. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. And the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. They are completely confounded. They are completely confounded about it. Just read the article. They're completely confounded about it. And by the way, I didn't know anything about this article until Lee came in about a half an hour before the services or whatever, an hour before the services, and dropped it off, said, read this. I didn't even know it was there, so I wasn't planning on adding this to the preaching or anything. I didn't even know that was there. But God did. Amen. And that's why I'm preaching it. Amen. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Amen. If we be obedient to God and submissive to him, he'll use us. Amen. And he'll bless our steps, and he'll guide our steps. If we'll follow his word, and if we will be willing to sacrifice all to follow him and keep nothing back, have neither fear nor favor, he will bless us. Amen. When something is wrong, you don't cover it, you deal with it. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than man. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are. God turned their wisdom into foolishness. They meant to get us kicked out of there. And hopefully out of town. Like they said, I'll run you right out of here. But all they did was be used of God to establish us in this city even more.
Yep. We're dug in now.
More already coming.
And more coming, by the way. More families moving.
Right. Amen.
Yep.
We're just helping your economy. You ought to love us. Right? Right. They ought to love us. I should get like the keys of the city or something, right? Representing Old Paths Baptist Church, all except the keys for Old Paths Baptist Church. Ribbon cutting and everything. What's that? But yeah, three just got here, more are coming. And the mayor's trying to figure out what to do, and she talked about it. The mayor talked about it. Well, I'd like to talk to the mayor. She never called me. Never mind. Maybe she heard my sermon about Jezebels in the pulpit or something. That's kind of a turnoff for talking to somebody when they preach a sermon like Jezebels in the pulpit. I mean, that. Probably not. I didn't get any welcome here. I've never gotten a welcome here. There's a welcome. No, not for us. That's right. I always thought I was Northfield's favorite son. But anyway, we praise the Lord because every time they drive down, by the grace of God, now Highway 3 right here, they'll see Old Paths Baptist Church. And I can guarantee you that was not their plan. I can guarantee you they thought they'd sink us and we'd be done, finished, leave, but God. Because his thoughts are above our thoughts and his ways are above our ways. And God is merciful to Northfield because they need the truth, because they oppose themselves. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 24. The Bible says, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. What do? They oppose themselves. 2 Timothy chapter 2, 25. They oppose themselves. They're opposing their own souls and their own economy. I'll tell you what it is. It's a lot of people with a lot of old money here that are set here, and they believe they own the public. They believe they own the public, and they believe that they can do whatever, because they're so used to pushing everybody around with their money and everything else. And then there's some people that will stand up and say, you know what? I don't care, Herod, about your money. You can't have your brother's wife. All right? I don't care about your money and all the shops you own. You still need to be saved. You're still a wicked sinner before God, and you need to repent and believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, because hell awaits you, friend. And the nicest thing I could do is warn you that though you own a shop, though you own a business here, and you get to make money and everything else, you remember one thing, you're still breathing God's air. And if you don't repent and believe the gospel today, you are going to die and go to a devil's hell. We need to warn you to flee from the wrath to come. We need to warn you that God has a judgment upon your sin. And God will not wink at your sin, but he will cast you in the lake of fire with your dead religion, your dead, boring religion that you have to bring in a rock band to try to jazz it up a little bit to try to make it sound better, because the preaching is so lame, nobody wants to listen to it anymore. They're tired of your sacramental garbage. They're tired of it all. They're tired of your dead orthodoxy and everything else that you're doing that has nothing to do with the scriptures, has nothing to do with following the word of God, but it's a bunch of dead preaching, a bunch of dead speaking, standing there and just speaking. Why? Because dead men are speaking to them. I'll guarantee you one thing. You wouldn't worry about a rock concert if a fire-breathing preacher was standing in front of you that preached the word of God to you. Amen. You wouldn't be bored. You wouldn't need a rock concert. If you did, it's because your wicked heart wanted one, because you don't want to hear the word of God, because you don't want to be saved. So you desire your flesh to be entertained. Well, this doesn't entertain your flesh. What it does is speak to the soul. Amen. And that's why you hate it, because when you go out in the open air, and this city, when they hear it, because they've been able to hide their wickedness from everybody. Mask it. No, we're not your problem. Even though you think like they do, you think like Ahab did. Hast thou found me, O mine enemy? Right? The Bible says, if God, peradventure, will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. If we didn't love you, we'd leave. And I'll tell you what my flesh wanted to, thought about a lot. You know what I mean? Really did. Because I've been here for 9 years. And by the way, there were other places we could have went, but God wouldn't let us. Amen. And a lot cheaper. I'm going to Texas tomorrow. Would have been easier for you if we'd have moved the church to Texas. You know, as much as delightful as that sounds, Brother Finney, to move to the nation of Texas, because it does appeal to my flesh. I am the Lord's prisoner in the north.
Amen. That's right. Yeah.
Right. In the Northfield. Right? What's that?
You've been wearing a cowboy hat all time.
I know. I had to wear one up here and make him mad all the time. I had to wear it all the time up here.
Amen.
Walk around with that hat on. Somebody probably shoot it off my head. Huh? Well, I'll try it. I'm going to try it. I'm going to go preach in Northfield with my cowboy hat Brother Finney gave me. Isn't that right, Brother Finney? What? Well, I'm doing it now. Huh? You opposed? You don't get a vote, PJ. What are you talking about? I'm doing it now. Do it. I'm going to do it. That's right. How about that? See? Must have been the hat Brother Finney wore when he was talking. Why do you Northerners hate nice hats? What's wrong with you people? Look at him. That's okay. I'm going to wear it to Texas, though, Brother Nate. I'm wearing it tomorrow. I'm wearing it on the way. I'm going straight tourist, man. Hey, I'll have you know there's a lot of people that want me to move to Texas. Most of them probably live in this town. but there's a lot of people in Texas that would love us to move there, believe me. And other places, by the way. So see, the town should love us, Brother Finney. They shouldn't want us to leave. There's people that want us to move all over the place. They'd love to see old paths come there. But we thank the Lord he put us where he did, amen. Amen. This is the right place to be because it's in the center of God's will, amen. But you know what? We are going to be working on one thing, though, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. We're going to be working on that. There's some things that were not perfect about our ministry that we need to fix, you know, our street preaching ministry. And there's some things we're going to fix with that now. You know, some of the things we've already taken care of that wasn't including anybody in this room. But, I mean, we want to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. There's things that we can do legally that we can't do biblically. Amen. Right. Amen. So there are things that we're going to be wise about. And, you know, but it really has nothing to do with any of those things. The thing they hate the most is they don't want us preaching downtown. Because I guarantee you, if you went down there as loudly as you possibly could and read Dr. Seuss books, they would not get angry with you. They would come out and laugh and probably put dollars down. No, PJ, you're not doing it. But you could, if you went down there and you read like Mother Goose books, Dr. Seuss books or whatever, if you went down there and did that, they wouldn't be mad at you. Right. Or if you dress like an elf, yeah, or Santa, or a clown, or a druid, or a parking bunny, they would love it. What don't they like? Jesus, the real one from the Bible, not the pop culture Christianity that they follow. They don't like the Jesus of the Bible. When you preach him, they don't understand what you're saying because their Jesus is found in a cookie or a cracker. That's where their Jesus is found. Yeah, their Jesus is found in a cup. Their Jesus is found in this sacramentalism that when you walk in, it's all boring and they all chant and they all speak like that. Their Jesus is that Greek Orthodox church that didn't get kicked out. That had their, what do you call that thing? The incense burning and the censer. Yeah, that's right. That's what it is. And they're burning the incense and they didn't get kicked out. Kissing. You know why they didn't get kicked out? Because they walk around kissing pictures. They're standing there. They're looking to see. I think some of them are kind of embarrassed. They're probably like, man, nobody watched me do this. And they're like kissing pictures and stuff. I think they're like, I'm wondering if they're like a little bit nervous about that. I just want to walk by one time and go, what are you doing? What are you kissing that for? Hattie, it's weird. Stop that. That's not normal. Who walks around kissing pictures? Who is that anyway you're kissing? It's like the three the Gospels. They have like Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Seriously, they have up there and they just walk by and they walk in and they're like, some of them are like all, you know, secretive about it. And they just walk in. It's like, but other ones are just like kissing them, you know, kissing all the pictures. And then the guy comes and he's got his whole robe on. They're doing all that. And they got weird like idols Is that what those are? I was just, they didn't get kicked out. Hey, they smoked the place up and they didn't get kicked out. Yeah, it did. It smelled like the Grateful Dead concert we were outside of. But they didn't get in trouble. They didn't get kicked out. Why? Because nobody cares about that. Because when you go, nobody cares about that. It has no power. It doesn't affect. All it does is raise up devils. All it does is work up devils. That's all it does. That's all it does is just chant. They're chanting up devils. They're calling up devils, right? That's all they're doing. So it doesn't do any. That's not going to make those devils mad. Because they're all working together. But what happens if you preach the word of God? They're going to come after you. And they did. But you know what God showed us through this? That he's with us. He showed us that what they meant for evil, God meant for good. That's right. If God be for us, who could be against us? That's right. Nothing will separate us from the love of God, which is found in Christ Jesus. Nothing. And God is showing us that if we will obey him, if we will follow him, if we will submit to him, that he will bless our steps. And he will guide our steps. And he will use this church for his glory and honor. And I mean, think about this. 3 days ago, we were like, we got to be out in a month. And 3 days ago, it became a situation where, no, we're going to be out like in a day. Now, that's what God did. Because, by the way, that all the money that the Lord provided, and I know he's going to provide more for other needs that we have here. But you know what? All the money that the Lord provided, which was about $6,000, by the way, in 3 days. I think I got that right. I think it was six. Yeah, $6,000 in 3 days God provided. Used his people, used other people, but he provided it. And he will provide more for us, for our needs, and he will take care of us. There's nothing too great for God. Right? He will take care of us. What they meant for evil, God meant for good. And that's a testimony. And that's going to be a testimony for others. And I wanted this to be online. I wanted to be online the first day. I wanted this message to get out there. And I want to put this online. I want people to understand that God is no respecter of persons. He's not doing something for us that he won't do for other people, that he won't do for other brethren. That's one of the reasons why we're getting in the car at 4 o'clock in the morning and driving to Texas and baptizing some converts and trying to start a work there. That's one of the reasons why. Because if God will do it here, he'll do it anywhere. If you'll follow him, and if you're willing to deny yourself, to take up your cross and to follow him, he'll bless you. Remember, he said the gates of hell shall not prevail against him. Yes, he does. And if people are willing to obey God and follow him, get scripturally baptized and have a desire to join a church and to start a work, then we're going to help them by the grace of God. If they will follow New Testament order, if they will follow this, and if they're in agreement with what we believe and hold to in the scriptures, then you know what? We will help them. Because that's what God's called us to. Not everybody's going to come here, folks. We got to go out to them. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, they went out. And we got to go out. God is sending families in, but we have a responsibility to go out. And one day we will send men out to these places, Lord willing. We will send them out, and God, as God calls them, as God leads us to, and we will lay hands on them, and we will send them out for the gospel work, wherever the Lord wants us to. I asked God a long time ago to send men here, and that if he would, we'd be a Sandy Creek. And we would raise up men, and we would send them out. And he's doing it. Amen. He's brought young men here. He's brought them here. He's brought some old men here too. Amen. Yeah. We need those elders too. Because there's much work. I mean, look at this. Brother Finney had been here a week, man. We had him busy right away. The first day he stepped down, he was busy. Why? Because God knew that we needed him here. Because he wanted to use him here. And he wanted to be right here. It was God's timing. It was perfect timing. Because it was God's timing. And we thank God for that. God is sending, God is calling out a remnant. He's sending these young people from all over the place and older people that are willing to do what God wants to do. But some people, they're not going to be able to come here. It's not going to work. And we have to go to help them where they are. And we will if they'll obey God. God will give us discernment on who we should work with and who we shouldn't. He'll also give us discernment on who's just being lazy and doesn't want to move and sacrifice for the Lord and how the situation is not right for them to move. God will give us discernment and wisdom. Or God wants a work right there. And he wants us to go travel and do the work on the road. Amen. So God just allowed it to be. Now, guess what? You look at this. This is way better. We don't have to leave at a certain time. Except Garrett's got to get home and go to bed pretty soon because he's got to work early in the morning. PJ's not a member yet, so we don't care if he's tired. But we're just worried about Garrett. Right, brother? So that's why he's standing. Yeah, too boring for him. He's going to sleep. But I haven't yelled loud enough today. Look, the baby's even used to me yelling already. Right? Already used to me yelling. Anyway, but you know what? All they did was, this is better. You know why? When we want a men's meeting, all we have to do is go in there. We have a men's meeting. When you want to stay in fellowship, your fellowship is not hindered. Now you can just stay here. Amen? And many other things that the Lord will allow. We even want to have some a church state law meeting, actually, and bring some pastors in here and teach them on the 501c3 issue and try to help that. We want to do that. Brother Finney and I have talked about that. There's other things like that that we want to do. Amen. We've got some, Brother Finney and I have some places that him and I might be traveling and going to.
Amen.
So there's a lot of work that's going to be done. And this just, the Lord's just allowed this to be his will and perfect for what we need. Amen. And our schedule got opened up. That's right. That's right. And now we're not hindered by those other things. That was a hindrance over there. And God said, no, I'm going to break that. I'm going to break that yoke. And I'm going to set you free from there and put you in a place where you can do what I want you to do. Now, if we want to teach different classes or help with different things with the men and we can get together as men and we need to and everything, we can do that here a lot easier. Amen? There's a lot of things we can do. So anyway, so the Lord just, it's just better. What they meant for evil, God meant for good. You know, they devised evil and wickedness, but God turned it upon their own heads. And the gospel will be preached, and I rejoice in that, and you should too. Amen. Let's pray. Father, Lord, thank you. Thank you for your words. Thank you for the truth of them. And Lord, thank you that you've given us this place and you've provided for us, Lord. We know you're going to provide more for us in the future. And Lord, we know you'll meet our needs because you're faithful, and we're not worthy, Lord. We're not worthy, but Christ is worthy. And we thank you for Jesus Christ and his sacrifice. And Lord, we thank you that he rose from the dead, Lord. And he stands in heaven, and he sits on the right hand of the Father today. And Lord, that one day we will meet him face to face. And Lord, we thank you for that. And Lord, I just pray that you'd help us. Bless the fellowship, bless the time we have together, Lord. And also, Lord, please bless the trip tomorrow and all the work that goes on here this weekend in the church and the services, Lord, and the preaching and the fellowship. May they be used to your honor and glory. And may this place, Lord, this meeting place that you provided, may it be used for your honor and glory to help many. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.